Call the Monday, May 19th, 2014 meeting to order, regular meeting number 2014-15. Ask you all to stand for the flag salute, please, Mr. Manager.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Roll call, please.
Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Troll?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, ma'am. First order of business is special orders of business, and we have a couple of people retiring and a new person coming on board. And Mr. Bill, if you can do as good as these two people that are leaving us here in the near future and be here for 24 to 37 years, you'll be doing very well. So, Madam Manager, if we can first have Mr. Kern.
Come on up, John. Not yet.
Well, John is retiring after 37 years with the CBJ. He started in 77 and worked for 6 years as a planner in community development. And among his early accomplishments was writing the nomination for placing our downtown on the National Register of Historic Places. He also had a hand in designing our iconic faux boardwalk downtown, which snagged many heels. So I'm sure it seemed like a good idea, John. It was not a good idea. No. As a result, he was banished to Capital Transit. No, he was appointed to Capital Transit in 1983 when Capital Transit was just 12 years old at the time. And when he began, the fleet consisted of 6 buses that had been purchased used. 3 of them were Army surplus buses, so it was quite a fleet. So back then, we had hourly service to the Valley and Douglas 6 days a week, and in 92 added Sunday service, and since then, the service has continued to expand. The transit consultants who helped us create the 2014 transit development plan noted that Capital Transit is one of the most productive small transit systems that they have seen. Capital Transit and Caravan received state and national recognition, named one of the 10 best small transit agencies in North America in 99. It was recognized by the Community Transportation Association in 2003, and the Governor's Council on Employment of People with Disabilities recognized it as the first fully accessible public transit system in the state with a barrier-free design award in 2006. John, I wish you happiness in your retirement. And thanks for all you've done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, 37 years. I'd just like to say thank you to the community. Thank you to the Assembly for being so supportive over all these years. Thank you for the privilege to make Capital Transit together. And I think it's really something special. I look forward to watching it continue.
So Rob had to go to Douglas to get off to go through the archive to find all the stuff on the job.
Nobody else around to tell the story.
John, here's the certificate for 37 years of service, and we thank you very much and hope you're around to lead us a little bit further with the bus system.
Come this way.
Did Bonnie come?
Oh, yeah. Good.
good girl. Is that a manager?
I'm turning this over to Bob.
Come on up, boss.
That notes.
I didn't see you hiding back there.
No, there's a big guy.
That's rare. So it's my pleasure, really, just to be up here to honor and to thank Bonnie. She's been with CBJ for 24 years. I've been the director for 2 years, so, and it's my first time through the two-year budget cycle. And so I've had the pleasure of learning this from Bonnie and for her being able to pass on her knowledge to me. And I'd say the item that stands out the most to me that I've seen is just Bonnie's just outstanding commitment to getting the job done. There's no concern for time, long hours sitting here at either assembly or finance committee meetings, putting together the documents, answering questions, and it just hits Bonnie as that's part of the public service part. She knows that she's overseeing public funds. She speaks about it that way. How the departments spend their money. They hear from Bonnie when it doesn't make sense when she's putting together the annual budgets. And so I think we're going to miss that oversight. One of the key things, if you go online and you look at the budget book, or if you're an assembly member and you get the budget book, that's been put together by Bonnie over a number of years, and it's received the national recognition from the Government Finance Officers Association because the volume of information that's in there, not just the numbers, but there's a lot of information about the city and about the history of the city. So if you need to know something about the finances of CBJ, the online budget book is a great place to start, and that's a credit to Bonnie and to the rest of the staff. But Bonnie kind of led that effort and for many, many years has been recognized for it. And the other thing I'd comment that we're losing is just the historical knowledge. It was demonstrated this year, several assembly members during the budget process. You know, I'd like to know the history of this fund that started in 1983. And I'd say, okay, we'll look at that. Early the next morning, Bonnie would come in, she'd open up the computer, she'd do a few things, she'd put together a spreadsheet, and she'd email it to me, and she'd say, well, it started in 83, and here's every penny that went in, every penny that came out, and little notes about how the money was used. So, again, that's just that dedication and that knowledge. And so I've really appreciated working with her. I've appreciated, her commitment to it. And I wish you the best of luck. I'm jealous. And good luck in your future endeavors.
So my red now?
No.
Matching your shirt pretty well.
So anyway, I'm gonna thank everybody for coming out to say goodbye to John and me. You don't get this big an audience for 70 years. But I also want to say that I think the employees of the city are a very hardworking group. It's not just one or two. There's a group of really hardworking, dedicated employees that work for the city. And I think the citizens of Juneau should be really proud of everybody that works for the city, because they do work hard. So, and I think it's important for them to be recognized for working hard. So that's all I have to say.
Information, we had to go over to Douglas also. So we had to go down in the Treadwell Mine and gold that this borough has done for us and all the good things he's done for us. I know that the 11, 12 years that I've been on the assembly and the mayorship, she's been invaluable to us as a source and always there to help us and help us learn and figure out what the budget is and what it isn't. And I thought the other day you were saying 24 years, maybe.
That's what I thought.
Well, we give you credit for 28 years. And next on our special order of business is welcoming a new guy, And Mr. Chuck Bill, if you would come up, and you can either sit or you can stand and give us just a little briefing on yourself. And Chuck has had family here in Juneau in the past, and he's our new Bartlett Regional Hospital Chief Executive Officer. Welcome, Chuck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I see what you mean about having tough shoes to follow. That's great. Been here for a week. Really don't have a lot of details to share other than my wife and I are thrilled to be coming to Juneau. My mom grew up here, so we've got family ties, and I do have a cousin that still lives in town, so it's not totally new to us, although we haven't been through all the seasons, so we'll figure that out. I was lucky enough to start last week, which was National Hospital Week, and that's the week that we really say thank you to our employees and celebrate all the great things that they've done for us. So I got to spend that week in parties and serving breakfast and serving ice cream socials and stuff. So you may see pictures of me in my white apron and my jaunty food service blue hat. But it was a really great opportunity to get to meet most of the employees and physicians. And I've got to say, we've got a tremendous group to work with. So I want to thank you for the warm welcome and really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you. All right.
And we have one other special add-on to our special orders. Ms. Mead?
I just wanted to introduce to the Assembly Heather Parker. She is currently a 1L at Willamette, which I mispronounce every time I say it. Heather is from Juneau. Well, she's done a lot of things in Juneau. She is a member of the Juneau Symphony Orchestra. She interned with Senator Begich. She has worked for the Alaska Legislature, both in legislative information and legislative research. She has taught for CERC, teaching English and citizenship, and she has volunteered for AWARE, most specifically with Girls on the Run, both in Juneau and in Oregon. And just wanted to introduce Heather to you. She'll be working with us this summer as a civil intern.
All right. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Mead. We'll move on to approval of minutes. Are there any corrections to the April 21, 2014 Special Assembly Meeting 2014-12? Is there any objections to their approval? Seeing none, so approved. We'll move next to the April 23, 2014 Special Assembly Meeting 2014-13. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, is there objection to their approval? Seeing none, so approved. We'll move on to the April 28, 2014 Regular Assembly Meeting 2014-14. Any corrections? Ms. Troll?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Sanford. Question on page 18, it lists me as a liaison to the NOAA Fisheries Committee. I'm not a liaison, I'm just a committee member.
Just a committee member. That's most important, Mr. Ogle. Yeah. Okay, any other corrections? Is there any objections to their approval as amended? Seeing none, so ordered. Manager's request for agenda changes? Madam Manager.
None, thank you.
Thank you. Public participation on non-agenda items. And it looks like we have just one person who wants to talk to us about a non-agenda item, Mr. Bill Lady. And everybody who signed up for these other things, the school district and Treadwell Arena, and the school district and that, you'll come under the appropriate ordinance or resolution. Mr. Lady.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly Members, thank you. Bill Leedy, 227 Gastineau Avenue. I've come to see you tonight to ask you, invite you to join me in sending a letter to the governor, encouraging him, requesting him to veto the Juneau Access item in the capital budget, SB 119, which is still before him. We're handicapped because the supplemental EIS has not been released. We don't even know what the preferred alternative by DOTPUF is for Juneau access, but we can assume, since it has been consistently in the past, that it's probably the road connection up the east side of Lynn Canal. And therefore, the Assembly has an opportunity in this curious window of time to take some leadership, suggest to the governor that he take leadership, and remove, veto, the line item for Juneau Access, $35 million, from the capital budget now. That would be a first step in beginning to remove all funding from all road building activity for improving Juneau Access, which is we've always intended it. In the 42 years that I've lived here, the capital move fear has always been with us, and always we have thought that if only we had a road connection to the outside world so that other Alaskans could drive to their capital to engage their assembly, their legislature, or the administration, that the likelihood of a capital move vote by the people would be greatly diminished. And I think that concept of a panacea is obsolete and has resulted in a distraction for us rather than doing many things that we could have done to make Juneau a much better capital city and a resilient community able to withstand shocks that are going to come at us sooner or later. We've always thought that the road project was somehow going to save us. So I have a great respect for those of you on this assembly and hundreds of others in town who have tried to get this Juneau Access road building project moving forward and funded. It might have been a good idea at one time. I'm an engineer. I have great sympathy for the engineering folks at DOTPUF, but two recent big changes have made this no longer an idea which should be tenable for the assembly, the community, or the state. First, the very large and continuing, no end in sight deficits at both the state and federal level. Therefore, any attempt to get large quantities of money for a project with a relatively poor benefit-cost ratio is going to be greeted by resentment or worse, envy or worse, by other people in Alaska and elsewhere in the USA, because it's a very large quantity of federal money. And the cost to us may be that all federal funds for all purposes will be harder for the state and for Juneau to get if the perception in the lower 48 and in Congress is that Alaskans can't be trusted to use the funds that we send them well. Secondly, increasing reports that of the urgency and the magnitude of the problem associated with continuing to burn fossil fuels and emit CO2. Those are rapid climate change, acidification of the sea, sea level rise, and the extinction of species. Therefore, the last thing we want to do is to encourage people to drive to the capital city by building a road connection for them to use, whether it's Alaskans or people in motorhomes. We don't want to encourage that use of fossil fuel, and we don't want the embodied energy, the thousands of gallons of diesel fuel and explosives emissions that are used to build any large public works projects. Consider the Sunny Point Interchange, for example. Uncounted thousands of gallons of fossil fuel and CO2 into the atmosphere just to build that. That's what we call embodied energy. There are many ways for us to be patriotic. We don't need to serve in the military. One of the ways is to encourage wise, responsible, optimum use of the people's resources, money and other resources. That's what's at stake here. And stewardship for the very life support system that sustains all of us and our fellow species. Therefore, the Assembly and we, the radio audience, have an opportunity now to consider what's at stake in Juneau Access, the unknown preferred alternative that's coming to us one of these first months in the supplemental EIS, the opportunity for all of us to study it and critique it and to prevent serious damage to Berners Bay if we would engage in a road building project around. So I encourage you now to join me in writing a letter to the governor. A modification of my letter appeared in the Empire today. I sent one on the 12th, and again today on the 19th. I didn't get a response from the governor, so I sent him the same letter again. There should be no shame in sending a letter at this time. Conditions have changed. Two important conditions have changed, which give us the opportunity and the obligation to say we should not consider any further expenditures, design or otherwise, in building a road connection to the north. And I hope that you at the end will move to do so.
Mr. Leedy, thank you.
Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Leedy? I would just want to make sure, and as you well know, there's a resolution that we have as an assembly from the city and borough that supports the Juneau access or road out of town of some sort, and that's still in effect. Just so you know that.
And would be very easy to modify and reverse, wouldn't it?
If we wanted to, if our opinions were that way.
So why don't you move to do that at the end of the meeting and see what the sentiment is?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to be sure that the public knows that this city is not distracted by anything when it comes to trying to make this a better capital city. We put a lot of money into improvements for our people who come here. We support the Alaska Committee, and the Alaska Committee's main job is to make this a better capital city. I do not want anyone to think that we are distracted by anything like the road.
May I give you an example?
No, I don't.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Your time's up.
That was my response. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Leedy?
Are we engaging in debate?
No, we're not.
Okay.
Any questions? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Leedy. Okay. Next item on the agenda is, that was the last public participation on non-agenda items. We'll move forward to consent agenda. Are there any requests from the public to pull, other than an ordinance for introduction, anything from the agenda? From the consent agenda, excuse me. Make it clear. Assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Ms. Pearl?
Thank you, Mayor Sanford. I would like to remove the first ordinance, 2014, from the consent agenda and request that it be referred to Committee of the Whole. I have several questions trying to understand the full implications of it. I won't be here on June 9th, and neither will Assemblymember Jerry Nankervis, so this way we'd have some time to explore the implications before acting.
Well, this is on the consent agenda as opening for the public hearing the next time around.
Right, and I'm saying at the public hearing time, I won't be here. I've given notice some time ago that I'll be absent, so.
And can you write your comments in a letter to us or something?
Well, I have questions that I would like to hear from staff. I want to engage in understanding the implications of this change as it relates to not only planning the Planning Commission, but our appeal process, questions about what implications it has for our workload, those sorts of things.
Or is this appropriate to move it to another committee for the law department?
It can be introduced or referred to committee.
Okay.
It would be introduced and referred to a committee.
And when is our next COW meeting? We had discussions about that earlier, and is it full?
June 2nd or June 16th.
Okay, what's the wishes of the Assembly then? Ms. Troll wants to hold off on this?
Until the Committee of the Whole meeting. On June 16th, I will be back.
June 2nd is the next Committee of the Whole meeting. Right? 2nd.
Well.
Correct.
Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for clarification from my understanding. Am I correct in understanding that Ms. Troll would like to introduce this but refer it to Committee of the Whole for discussion before it is taken up by the Assembly for public hearing and action? Is that a correct understanding?
Yes, Mr. Wanamaker.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, but our next Committee of the Whole is June 2nd, is that correct?
Yes.
And she will not be able to be here on that day, but when is our following Committee of the Whole?
16th.
Did you say 15th? Is there a reason that... 16th. Is there a time-sensitive reason why they can't be heard? It could be referred to a time to be taken up by the Committee of the Whole at a time certain. such as the 16th. Is there a reason it has to be heard or acted upon before then?
Is there a reason why we can't move it that far ahead and then wait for it? Because if we introduce it, then it's going to be on. I guess it doesn't matter if it goes beyond the 30 days.
No, it doesn't matter if it goes beyond the 30 days. That's true. I mean, this impacts the appeal that is currently pending, the Bicknell appeal, because it would change the procedurally, it would change the law to be applied. So it does impact that appeal.
So it has an impact on one of the appeals that's possibly before us, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm.
Any other comments?
I wanted clarification.
Any other?
Mr. Mayor, this is Lauren.
Mr. Lauren Jones, go ahead.
How can an ordinance that's just being introduced have an impact on an appeal that has already been filed that is before a hearing officer? I do not understand.
Go ahead, Ms. Mead.
Rezoning decisions are legislative in nature, not judicial in nature. The way that our code is currently set up sets up a process that cannot be followed through by the court. So, for example, at the end of that process, if it were appealed to the court system, there was nothing the court system could do with that. It puts the court in a difficult position. I think that in order to reconcile our code is the reason behind the ordinance, but I hesitate to have much more of a discussion about it in the context of this question about whether to take it off the consent agenda, because a substantive discussion is not really appropriate at this time.
On whether to do it or not, it is, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Not about
the comfortable with going out to the 16th of June.
This is Karen, so am I.
Karen, go ahead.
I said, so am I comfortable with waiting until June 16th?
Are you?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else from the assembly wish to comment? Does anybody object to waiting until the 16th for Ms. Troll to be able to be available to hear this and work on this ordinance with all of us?
And Mr. Nankervis would be available then, too.
Well, he's not requesting it.
Okay.
You know, some work has to get done around here when we're all hither and thon trying to get our private lives taken care of, too, for sure. So, okay, if there's no objection, then we will move this forward to the Committee of the Whole, and it will be still introduced tonight and with the rest of the introductions of stuff. Anything else? Yes.
I'm just going to move it.
No, it's done.
Move the rest of the consent
whole
agenda.
Consent agenda has been done.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Consent agenda. I thought you were talking about the same ordinance again.
No, we're moving it to the consent agenda.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll move forward to public hearing. And the first ordinance for public hearing tonight is Ordinance 2014-13. Will the clerk please read the title?
An ordinance amending the purchasing of supplies and services code related to the disposal of surplus property.
Administrative report, Ms. Keeper.
This ordinance would streamline and modernize how the city and borough deals with surplus property. It would remove from the purchasing code most of the administrative process requirements while authorizing the city manager to establish administrative policy to administer and control the program. This amendment also changes the section specifying when the assembly must approve by resolution a transfer of surplus property to another governmental or nonprofit organization by increasing the threshold property value from $3,000 to $50,000. Finance Department staff developed an administrative policy for surplus property with an emphasis on utilizing web-based technology to communicate and facilitate the disposal process. The policy clarifies the department's roles and responsibilities for disposal and outlines procedures for how to manage the property until its final disposal. The policy incorporates the code's original intent to dispose of surplus property by selling it to the highest bidder. The Committee of the Whole reviewed the revised code and administrative policy at its April 14, 2014 regular meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance, Ordinance 2014-13? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move on to assembly action. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-13, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections?
Question.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Madam Manager, just, going over the ordinance, it in fact replaces an extensive set of rules and procedures with written policies determined by the manager, and I just want to make sure I'm remembering our committee discussions of this correctly. Those policies for CBJ surplus property are something that the public's going to be able to find on the website. They'll be accessible, and people can take a look and know how this all works. I hate the buzzword transparency, but that's what we're talking about?
Yes. The administrative policies are available on our website for people to see.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, no objection.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Assembly action. Let's see. Questions? The ordinance 2014-13, without any objection, has been adopted. We'll move on to ordinance serial number 2014-18B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the Personnel Management Code relating to the applicability of the City and Borough Personnel Rules to Bartlett Regional Hospital.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report, please.
This ordinance will eliminate any inconsistency currently existing in the City and Borough Code relating to the applicability of Title 45.05 Personnel Plan to the employees of Bartlett Regional Hospital. While the more specific hospital code at Title 40 provides that personnel ordinances apply to hospital employees, except to the extent modified by regulations issued by the hospital administrator pursuant to CBJ 0160 and upon approval by the city manager, CBJ 4405010, specifying the scope of the personnel code exempts Bartlett Regional Hospital. This ordinance also clarifies that particular exempt employees are not subject to the reduction in force personnel rule regulations. Finally, version B of the ordinance included in your packet additionally makes clear that Bartlett Regional Hospital Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer are exempt for purposes of the pay plan, similar to the city manager and the city attorney. The proposed ordinance was presented as informational item to the Bartlett Regional Hospital Board Executive Committee on April 7, 2014, and to the full Bartlett Regional Hospital Board at its meeting on April 29, 2014. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open this for public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-18B? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward to assembly action. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mayor Sanford. I move passage of Ordinance 2014-18B and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none. You guys online are going to yell at me. Aren't you?
Yes, we will.
Okay, thank you. Sometimes I forget you're there. Okay. Ordinance 2014-18B has been approved. We'll move on to Ordinance 2014-22B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the City and Borough of Juneau Code relating to street and sidewalk bending.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report, please, Madam Manager.
With respect to sidewalk vending, this ordinance would amend CBJ 4220-210 to clarify that persons with sidewalk vending permits are exempt from off-street solicitation provision. With respect to street vending, the ordinance would allow the use of both carts and vehicles and would eliminate their prohibition against vending from parking spaces in certain areas. As to both street and sidewalk vending permits, the ordinance would do four things. It would increase the monthly permit fee from $100 to $150 for sidewalk vending permits and from $150 to $200 for street vending permits. Number two, it would allow a 25% increase in allowable vendor space size from 15 to 20 square feet. Number three, it require vendors to provide proof of open flame permits when appropriate. And number four, specify the goods handcrafted or characteristic of heritage or culture of Southeast Alaskan Native sold directly by the artists are one type of goods allowed to be sold with a permit. The primary difference between version B of this ordinance, including in your packet, and the ordinance originally introduced is that the elimination of the street vending permit provisions, as was originally proposed, has been reversed. This reversion leaves the street vending permit provision of the code intact, save for the changes identified above, as requested by the Committee of the Whole at its April 14, 2014 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open this up for public comment. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-22B? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of Ordinance Serial Number 2014-22B and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. I just have one question for staff, if I could, please. Yes, you can, Mr. Mayor. Go ahead.
Please ask your question.
Madam Manager, now I'm confused of what I was going to ask.
You want to know where these are?
Yeah, you said this morning that we might be able to get a map of where the positions are that we're going to look at to maybe approve certain things. If we could look at that. So this was a question that I had this morning is where we might possibly be able to put these vending carts. And Madam Manager, do you want to review this with us then? Or?
Sure. Lori?
We need one
we
more.
We need one more.
I passed mine away. I shouldn't have. Thank you.
So the sidewalk vending location map is the mostly black and white with a couple of red. The red ones are currently permitted vending carts. But you'll see that we have 11 different places that staff has looked at that we recommend would make good locations for vending.
We had a cart that was making food and creating a lot of smoke in that and was being rolling into storefronts anywhere, we would shut that cart down or have them change position or something?
What we would hope is that people would notify of that us of that so we could get somebody over and talk to them.
Well, I think those are the types of things that I want to make sure that we don't let continue to happen for sure. So somebody has got to be the controller of those permits and the controller of what they're doing in these different sites. Some of these sites have a lot of openness around them and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm. So.
Anything else on this particular?
Just a question. I have not looked at this long enough to really know the answer to this. So. Where would you allow a cart to go into a parking place? Does that mean a real parking place, like where I could put a car?
We're still working on the map for the parking the actual drive-in parking vending. Right now, we haven't had any requests for that. It's just been the sidewalk vending, and we will be working on the map for the street one. Most likely, well, what we're thinking about right now is looking at loading zones and trying to do it after the loading zone time is done to then be able to have people use those spots. But we have to go through and look at where we have the street vendors right now and then match that up with the the sidewalk vendors and match that up with the street vendors.
I'm slightly uncomfortable with approving something that is saying we're going to take up parking spaces without knowing what we would actually be doing or where we would be doing it.
Believe me, I want to be very cautious about how many parking places we use.
I hope so.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing that Mr. Keel's motion is to approve unanimously Ordinance 2014-22B, are there any objections to that? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ordinance 2014-27, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the penal code relating to harassment.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report, Madam Manager.
This ordinance would amend the CBJ code related to criminal harassment by expanding the types of harassment provided to include harassment by electronic means. Currently, harassing another person by electronic means, such as texting, is only prohibited by state law. This amendment would bring the City and Borough of Juneau code in line with the state statute. Additionally, this amendment would make it unlawful to threaten another's with sexual conduct in addition to threatening physical injury, which is already prohibited. The Human Resources Committee heard this ordinance at its April 7, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding it to the full assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on 2014-27? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Jones, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of ordinance 2014-27 as per unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, please read ordinance 2014-28B titled.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the City and Borough to change the zoning of Douglas Town Site, Block 46, Lots 1 and 1A, located at Dock Street and First Street in downtown Douglas, from Waterfront Industrial to D18.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report, Madam Manager.
On February 26, 2014, staff held an informational meeting to discuss the proposed rezoning with all property owners in the affected area. The size of the lots and the development proposed is similar to the surrounding area, as there are currently multifamily and single-family developments in the surrounding D18 neighborhood. Southeast across Dock Street is zoned waterfront industrial, and southwest is zoned light commercial. The requested rezone conforms with CBJ land use code requirements. The Planning Commission heard this request at its March 25, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. The version B in your packet, which shows the track changes, revises the ordinance to address some redundancy in the whereas clause and by simplifying some of the text. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open this up for public comment. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on ordinance 2014-28B? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action, Madam Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2014-28B and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, please read ordinance 2013-11AQ title.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $85,128 as additional funding for the 2012 State Homeland Security Programs, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
These additional funds would be used to support the goals and activities of the emergency management through funding of training, exercises, and equipment purchases. Specifically, the funding would purchase microwave data links for JPD and CCFR and 911 system. It also would purchase CCFR mobile data terminals for CCFR. The grant needs to be expended by June 30, 2014. There is no match requirement for this grant. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open this up for public comment. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance Serial Number 2013-11-AQ? Seeing none, public comment is closed. assembly action. Ms. Troll?
Thank you. I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11-AQ and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. And we'll move forward with Ordinance 2013-11-AR. And is this for some reason this morning when we were reviewing this, I wrote in my notes here, get the corrected version. Is this the corrected version? Ordinance 2013-11-AR?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's the next one that you're...
Okay. Okay, Madam Clerk, could you please read the title?
An ordinance transferring $37,692 of unextended FY13 marine passenger fees from the General and Visitor Services Funds to the Open Space Waterfront Land Acquisition Capital Improvement Project.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report.
The amounts of the funds available are from appropriations from the marine passenger fee for FY13 that were budgeted but not fully expended for a total of $37,692. For accounting purposes, the funds would first be refunded to the Marine Passenger Fee Fund and then transferred to the Open Space Waterfront Land Acquisition CIP consistent with past Assembly's direction. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open this up for public comment. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance Serial Number 2013-11-AR? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2013-11-AR and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move down the list, to Madam Clerk, to Ordinance 2014-24B. Is that the correct one?
It is the correct one, and you will find it in your red folder just to make sure. Some of the packets were changed. Some of the packets weren't. The online version was correct. So just to make sure, we put it in the red folder so we'll be looking at the same thing.
So if you all read your ordinance number, make sure you have 24B. That's the updated version of everything. Laura, Mr. Jones and Ms. Crane, do you have 24B in your packets up there? Are you guys still with us?
Yes, we do, and we have the document both on paper and I have it online.
Okay, thank you very much.
Read the title.
Everybody okay?
So let me just clarify. They both are B, but what you want to look is your second page. Your second page, you need to make sure it has writing on it instead of blank. The second page before just had one sentence on it. Mm-hmm. And then if you look under a general fund, there's a strikeout and unallocated budget reductions. And there's also a strikeout under special revenue fund, unallocated budget reductions. That's the one we're looking at.
Okay, now is everybody? Okay, I don't see anybody shaking their head. They're confused. Madam Clerk, would you please read Ordinance 2014-24B title?
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY15 city and borough operations.
Madam Manager, administrative report.
This ordinance would appropriate $308,849,500 for the City and Borough of Juneau's FY15 operating budget, excluding the school district. It is necessary to appropriate all transfers between funds that support operations, debt service, and capital projects, as well as the associated expenditures within the funds themselves. These transfers account for $82,539,800 of the FY15 operating budget. Excluding the transfers and school district, the CBJ FY15 operating budget, debt service, and capital project budget is $266,309,700. The original ordinance was introduced at the April 7th Assembly meeting and referred to the Assembly Finance Committee for deliberation. The Assembly Finance Committee moved the amended ordinance at its May 7th, 2014 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I have signed up for public testimony on the budget. One, two, three, four, five, six people interested in the Treadwell Arena. And then one, two, three people interested in testifying on the school district's the next budget ordinance that we have before us. So we'll go down the list of Treadwell Arena people here first. So Mr. Darrell Tissot. And then after Darrell will be Brandon Sullivan. And then Melissa Fritz. Yes, and there's a time frame of 3 minutes.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and fellow and assembly members. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I won't take 3 minutes, I'm sure. I want to thank you, first of all, for the job that you all have done on the budget. I know it's very difficult, and I don't envy your position as far as trying to find a way to make this all work. I am here tonight to discuss the Treadwell Arena, and I want to thank Ms. Kiefer on at least allowing this opportunity to have a discussion with the Treadwell Arena manager, and allowing trying to find ways of maybe increasing revenue and hopefully keeping the schedule of the ice as it is at presently, which is. And that's why I'm a little confused on, so maybe I can get some information. I was understood that now it's changed to a 10-month operation, but I thought it was like 2 months off on both sides, closing in August, opening in September and closing in the end of March. But I may be wrong, so I wanted to get some, maybe a little more clarification on that for all of us. My concern is why we thought we could take a look at, on those shoulder periods, I can speak on several positions. I also am a board member for the JDIA, Juneau Douglas Ice Association, and also, unfortunately, a member of the Juneau Adult Hockey Association as well. So I have the hockey perspective. And what we see is we have a couple of out-of-town tournaments that people from out-of-town, from Anchorage, Fairbanks, Whitehorse, come down and play. That keeps us pretty busy in March, and we also have adult tournaments citywide that goes into April. So those are kind of things that are my concern, and as well as camps coming in August prior to the full ice coming through. We have a lot of camps coming in, and there is some revenue that the city enjoys during these shoulder periods, and my concern is that by limiting the ice time that the Treadwell Arena is there, that you may end up seeing more of a loss in revenue. That may be a concern. We're looking very excited about being able to be participate in it, and I appreciate all the work that's been done on this on the budget as well as this year. And once again, I thank you very much for your time.
Are there any questions for Mr. Tissot? Ms. Troll.
Thank you. As you may have noticed, some of our recreation facilities are run by an empowered board like Eagle Crest, and the experience to date has been that we find more revenues being generated and less subsidies from the city and borough of Juneau. It's just wondering if your association and other associations would be interested in looking at that. I don't know if we necessarily want to create another board, but maybe join in with Eagle Crest, and just wondering about your thoughts on going that route for future years.
Oh, I think we would all appreciate that, you know, input into it. I think we're all very interested in the service that is provided by the Treadwell Arena, and thank the city for that opportunity. For you know, that type of opportunity would be great. I think by having more people involved in maybe a board situation, much like Eagle Crest, would be a great opportunity for the community to be involved and hopefully assist the assembly in creating less of a burden on the city coffers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. If you'll just explain where we're at with what we're trying to do with the budget with Treadwell.
Sure. What's in the budget right now in the budget ordinance is that the facility will be closed 2 months out of the year, and when the ice goes in and out will be negotiated with the ice rink manager.
Okay. So.
So our thought was probably June and July would be when it would close, so the times that they usually have their summer camps.
Okay. Okay. So then the ice would still kind of try to be in scheduled like somewhere in August?
That would have to be decided with the ice rink manager.
Okay.
And it would happen next year.
Right.
Not this
right.
Time.
We're not that you're looking at. We're always thinking ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Brendan Sullivan? Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity. Mr. Mayor, thanks for this. And Madam Keeper, too. Thank you. I'm a board member at the Juneau Skating Club. I'm the vice president of the club currently. I'm also a coach. I've been coaching there for the last 4 years. And I'm here tonight to just express my concern for the success of our skating rink, not just my club, that I'm very proud of. I've been skating my whole life. It's something that's given me opportunity and empowered me, and it's now coming back into my adulthood, and I'm giving it back to my community. That's one of my major concerns, is we lose an opportunity for our kids to be exposed to something really powerful like skating. I'm concerned and would like to help come up with some solutions about ice time being reduced, and I'm excited about the fact that we can speak with the management at the rink to help come up with some solutions. The major concern is we lose a lot of time for our kids to be training. We don't have a regular year-round calendar like other skating clubs. And I just would be anxious and concerned for them and their success in the future. My other concern I'd like to bring up is that I'd be worried about, we've had 11 years of a successful club and rink, and we've established some really great employees at the rink, and I'm concerned for them, too, that they no longer will have a year-round position. And we've been working so hard as an individual club, but also as a community, to create this environment. And we have staff that can manage that and can run it. And if we don't have the best opportunity for employment for them, I'm worried that we could lose stuff like that, or employees like that. And I think that would end up just taking away further from this incredible rink that we have. So for me as a coach, but also as a skater and as a community member, this is something that I'm very, very passionate about, and I would like to see some kind of solution. And I would like to let you know that our club, it wants to be a part of helping you get there. And maybe you could help us help you. So thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Sullivan, could I just get you to state your name and address for the record?
Pardon me, yes. My name is Brendan Sullivan, and my address is 2970 Glacier Wood Drive.
Thank you. Is there any questions for Mr. Sullivan? Thank you very much.
You.
Next, Melissa Fritz, and then Lori Balstead.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I'm Melissa Fritch, 4212 Taku Boulevard. I have a unique position. I am an adult skater, like Brendan. I am also a basic skills coach, and I'm the parent of twins who are competitive figure skaters. And I go to competitions with my family. We had an opportunity this year to represent Team Alaska at the Arctic Winter Games. They also went to regionals, and they went to Whitehorse to represent Juneau and Alaska at Whitehorse. we miss out on a lot of ice time. They're competing against kids who have ice all year round. And I'm not asking for ice all year round, but I am asking that we allow our kids to continue to achieve in skating by having those extra 2 weeks and not taking away that ice time that they train. My girls train about 10 hours a week when they're getting ready for competition. So skating has been a very positive influence in their life. It's taught them to set goals. They're 11. It's taught them to set goals. Sometimes they humble me with the kinds of things that they say, you know, I did all right, I did my best. And so they learn a lot from that. As Mr. Sullivan said and others, I would really like to work with you to be able to come up with some solutions. And I like the idea of the empowered board. I like that idea a lot. That's all I have, and thank you again for your time.
Thank you. Is there any questions for Ms. Frick? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And then we'll have Liz afterwards. Come back there.
Hi, I'm Lori Bolstead, and I'm a competitive figure skater. I've been to 4 years of regionals, Arctic Winter Games, and a couple of assorted other competitions. Competitions have really taught me to be a confident young woman. And it's actually really amazing to see all the little girls when they come off the ice at those competitions and they're smiling. No matter how many times they fell, it makes me so proud to see them. I recently started to help them with their skating. I've started to coach them a little bit, and it's really given back to me as a person. I've also started helping the basic skill skaters, and to see them perform and to see them achieve their goals and pass the basic skills levels just makes me so rewarded. Like, it makes me feel rewarded, you know? And I think that people just don't realize the joy that's brought to people when they figure skate. It's something that really empowers people and makes them feel confident and helps them become confident young adults. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ballstead. Stay there a minute. Stay there. Is there any questions for Ms. Ballstead? Ms. Troll.
I just would like to say thank you for your testimony. You're an inspiration.
Thank you. Liz Ballstead? After Liz will be Tammy Bowman.
Hi, I'm Liz Ballstead. I live at 1791 Diamond Drive with my daughter, Lori, who was just up here. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak to you today. It's very touching for me to see my daughter speak like that. She missed a lot of the points she wanted to tell you about being able to give back to the community through that outreach that's afforded to her when she's on the ice with the skaters. She's very concerned about losing ice time, which is a little different than what was responded to with Brendan when you said the facility would literally be closed for 2 months of the year. What we've also heard is that ice time would be removed from the schedule, and that is very detrimental to those competitive skaters. It's also detrimental to our club and how it runs, because we run in 6 blocks of time to teach basic skill skaters, and they need that time on the ice, and they need those breaks in between so that they can accomplish and reflect and look and practice. And so by shortening ice time, their ability to build skills and the ability of the community to build more skaters and continue bringing in people who want to skate and who learn to skate would be certainly impacted. As Brendan said, when we lose full-time employees, we lose people who can contribute fully to the community. When you don't have employment for 2 months of the year, or you lose your insurance because you're not a full-time employee, that certainly impacts how you're able to function, and it certainly might make us lose a valuable employee who's actually got an understanding of not just the figure skating program, but also the hockey program, which we have gained through the hiring of our recently hired new manager.
we do as a club, not just the Juno Figure Skating Club, but the hockey club also. We reach out during day of play and help run that activity to bring in more skaters. It is the mission of the club to teach Juno to skate. That's our mission. And so what we're really asking is that you reconsider the actual cuts that you're planning to make, the actual closure, and maybe not having a full-time employee in that position. We really need somebody who understands the rink, understands how to function it. And if we get an 8-month employee, that'd be really difficult.
Did you understand what the city manager said?
She's saying 10 months. We were originally told 8 months.
Right.
So, and when they published it in the paper, they slashed them all. I don't know where that graphic came from.
Just so you know where we're at
so,
tonight.
Yeah.
Because things change as we go
right.
through all this process.
And there's a lot of misinformation out there, it sounds like.
Any questions for Ms. Ballstead? Thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Tammy Bowman?
My name is Tammy Bowman. I'm at 4449 Columbia Boulevard. Thank you for having the opportunity to speak tonight. Lori's a tough act to follow. My daughter is also a figure skater with our Juno Skating Club. She has been skating for 6 years. In that 6 years, we have seen the competitive figure skaters in our club go from 1 to 2 competitive figure skaters to last year 10 competitive figure skaters, and there might be as many as 15 coming up this year. They've mentioned regionals. I think I should take a minute to explain to you what regionals are. The first week of October is a regional skating competition. That's the first step in the entire season for bigger skaters. After the regional figure skating competition, if they place, qualified skaters go on to sectionals and then on to nationals. This is a big, big deal. For the girls that are competing at regionals, if you think about it from a different sports perspective, most of us have had opportunities to be involved in sports like soccer or softball or basketball, and the practices are fun, but the game is the best, right? This 2-minute chance they have to skate at regionals is their game once a year. If we don't give the girls at least the 7 weeks they have right now to skate and practice for this big game, they don't have an opportunity to compete with anybody. They barely have an opportunity to compete now with the limited ice time they have because other skaters are practicing all summer long. Also, as Liz touched on, the rink manager you have now is amazing. She understands how to run that rink. If she sees that there is free ice time, she comes to the club and tries to sell it. She works really hard to manage that rink very diligently. Also, keep in mind that these figure skaters, a lot of these girls, right now we have mostly girls, they do this for a challenge. I cannot think of a single competitive skater we have that isn't an honor student. They're all good citizens, and they're impeccable examples to others. They work really, really hard, and taking this chance for them to have the rink, or taking any of that time away from them, is not fair to these people that are really good examples to others out there. And they give their own personal time for no compensation to help other less experienced skaters. My daughter is 12 years old, and she's with me, and she is not comfortable speaking tonight, but she's standing there. She skipped her softball practice, which she wouldn't be doing if we had ice, of course. Sorry.
It's okay. If you want to finish up, go ahead.
She really feels very passionately about skating.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Bowman? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate it. I have 3 other people that are signed up, and they supposedly are signed up for the school district. Lori, your school district?
Yes. Is it appropriate now or for the next week?
I'm just trying to make sure that I'm getting everybody in their right order here. So school district. Jenny, school district?
Yeah.
Okay. And Stephanie Buss?
Yes.
School district? Okay.
Can you add me
Yes, I will when we get to there. Okay. Okay. So we are now at. Is there anybody else that wants to talk about the general budget? That was all that was signed up. So seeing none.
Mr. Mayor.
Come up to the mic, please. Go ahead.
A quick clarification. So if this budget is passed and on the next one, on I, there's requesting additional funds for the school district, would that be possible if H has already passed?
No.
No, it's not. So should we testify now on school district if it has to do with an increase in the school district budget? Because otherwise we're sort of after the barn door is closed.
Wishes of the assembly. Let them talk right now.
As we did when we first introduced all, or first took testimony on them all together.
Okay, so if you want to just sit right there and give us your comments ahead again, you can. I just said you can.
Okay.
Name and rank.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Amy Skilbred. I live at 4477 Abbey Way, Juneau, Alaska. I am a coach for the Juneau Douglas High School tennis team and have been for the past 11 years. I want to begin by thanking the Assembly for listening to the Mayor's Task Force on called the Task Force Exploring Activities and Money that started in 2007 and went through 2008. And that task force was called together because we had surveyed the coaches and the clubs and figured out that the cost of activities for one high school, not including personnel, I believe this is right, was $1.82 million. Of the $1.82 million, the Assembly contributed $200,000 plus all sports were allowed to apply to the Youth Activity Board for grants, and I think about $39,000 to $45,000 a year from the Youth Activity Board funds went to high school activities to support them. So that was this incredible. When you all listened, it was, I think, about $540,000 more were added by the Assembly. As I recall from the letter that went out to those of us who then went on from the 2007 exploration of the funds through the team and onto the Activities Advisory Committee, and Mary Becker was with us through some of this journey and Jeff Bush through some of it as well. It was believed that the Assembly would pay for half of the activities. The Assembly would pick up a quarter, and then parents, teachers, fundraising, basically the community would pick up the other one quarter of the activities fund. At that point, we had one high school. With the personnel, it was about $2.2 million for all told for activities. I understand that it's hard times. As I say again, I thank you all for providing those funds. To cut the funding that was cut this past year, though, is a huge blow to activities. And I know that I think it was $347,000 or so that was cut out of the activities because it was above the cap and moved under the cap. And I was at the school board meeting the other evening, and I do realize that they put that money in for activities because they felt that at that time there hadn't been enough notice about cutting activities funding more than in half, and that would really have drawn a lot of people to the meeting if we'd known about it. For this meeting, I think that we're lacking people here. I talked to several coaches. They said, I wish I'd known about it. I don't know about it. I can't get there this evening. But we have, as you all know, a lot of people involved in activities for the high school level. The reason for the funding support was an equity issue, to make sure that we could have as many kids as possible participating, and they would not be excluded because of the cost of activities or the fee that the school was charging to just even sign up. I know that other people will talk on this, so I just want to really support increasing school funding by the $390,000 that was moved from the activities. Leave that above the cap for activities and move other funding in. And I know it's difficult to find this year, but the cut to activities is extreme, and it will carry on because even though the board has left it in, the school board, it's something that they'll have to be looking at next year. And at this point, we've got two high schools and we're above it. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Skelbred?
Seeing none, thank you very much. Lori Scandley?
Thank you. My name is Lori Scandlin, and as I told people in the last 16 months, I'm a recovering educator. I live at 11909 Glacier Highway, and as you know, or some of you know, I was with our district for 20 years. Ironically, today I set out all my school clothes. Mary knows we all have, you know, sweatshirts for the schools that we have worked in or care about. And of course, I was a Crimson Bear for years, but I set out all the sweatshirts. I'm going to give them away. I just told myself I've got to stop caring. I can't fix everything. In the last 5 years in our district, it was just so difficult. And the assembly really has been our rock. And I was just heartsick when I read that the activities funding was moved out from outside the cap and into the inside the cap, because it pits, of course, class size against activities. And Amy summarized it rather well, but 7 years ago when we were looking at Thunder Mountain opening, we thought the most equitable thing was pull a community committee together, and so Mayor Botello and Anthony Gander Story was president of the board, pulled a bunch of people together, and they spent months researching activities. Primarily what they looked at is how do we stack up like on a per kid basis with other districts, other schools. And we were really at the bottom of the barrel with our region and also with the rail belt. And so as Amy mentioned, there was a proportionate proposal put forward that would have the public share a quarter of the cost, and then the city and the district would increase their share, which hadn't increased as long as people could remember. In fact, there was a memo between Rod Swope and Peggy Cowan about a two-year implementation to bring it up to the level that Amy mentioned, which was 540. It went from about 200 up to 540, but that was over 2 years. I oversaw the Activities Advisory Committee for 4 years as we oversaw the money, and I can tell you it was well spent. At the end of what I call the first generation of Thunder Mountain, you know, your first graduating class, two of every three kids in the entire high school population was involved in an activity, and the diversity was looking more and more and more like the student population, which is exactly what we wanted. It used to be before you could even be on a team, or I was the newspaper advisor, you had to pay a fee for every single one of the activities before you could participate. And I just showed up to register my kids, who are no longer in the district, with a checkbook. We changed that with your partnership. The activities have taken hits, too, in the last 4 years, which have been so devastating in our district, primarily due to the Alaska legislature. We have cut over 110 jobs, reduced our workforce by nearly 15%, including my own position, as you know. The kids always have been expected to roll up their sleeves and be part of the fundraising, but we discourage them from hitting up businesses because businesses are asked and asked and asked. We encourage them to work together as a team. I know that we are all facing the pain now. What I'd like to observe, though, is when I read the discussion about whether or not to raise the mill rate, the question was, will those taxes hurt families and businesses? And I just want to observe that I think that moving the funding under the cap and taking it away, in fact, is an invisible tax on families and businesses who will be hit up more. And it's regressive because it'll hurt those families most who can least afford it. I hope you'll reconsider that action. The next ordinance after the school district is the mill rate. You could round it to 11. Just a suggestion.
Thank you, Ms. Scanlon. Is there any questions for Ms. Scanlon? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's okay. Jenny, and you'll come up and tell me what your last name is since I can't read it, please.
Okay, great.
That way I don't slaughter it.
I'm Jenny Malika, and I live at 18224 Point Stevens Road. And I just kind of got an email this afternoon saying this is the last chance for schools, and I apologize because I'm not really educated on the numbers or the budget. I need the one who just retired to talk to me. But it's my understanding, I have a better understanding now of the activities, and also that the assembly could put more money towards the cap as well. Is that correct?
If we had it.
And I know you don't have it, and I guess I'm just here as a parent. You know, we tried really hard with the Alaska State Legislature, and we didn't get as far as we wanted to. So I apologize. You're kind of our only hope. And I've been in Juneau for about 19 years, but I've only had a child in the district for 2, and I've been watching the budgets for about 3 now. And one reason it's so important to me is that my child has a medical problem, so he needs nursing. And nurses they weren't cut this year, but the previous 2 years they were cut drastically. And for families like ours, that's been huge. So I'm just here to ask you guys to reconsider, put as much money you can towards the schools. Of course, I think the activities is valid as well. And I liked what Lori said about not pitting class size with activities. And class size is another big issue for parents and a lot of my friends here in town, too. So just want to thank you for everything you do. Historically, you've been amazing for supporting schools, and I know that it's a tough budget year, but I personally think education is the most important thing we can do here in Juneau. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Stephanie Buss.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. I'm Stephanie Buss. I live at 16431 Ocean View Drive. And I'm here as a parent of 2 children in Ockby Elementary who are here with me tonight and about to fall asleep. And as an Ockby site council member. And I want to first thank you so much for your historical funding of schools and real support. And I understand this year is a very tough year for you. And I just ask that you really prioritize our schools and prioritize them to the point of funding them to the cap and keeping the funding for activities outside the cap. We heard the benefits of the activities at the high school level. My children benefit in the wonderful and beautiful violin programs that our schools have, as well as the need for the small classroom sizes, which would be funded by funding to the cap. We could keep those class sizes small. My son's kindergarten class was 24 kids. Our fifth grade class is over 30, and we're looking at having to increase those even more without your support and funding. And that just makes reaching the goal of having world-class schools tough. And I really think as a parent, as a community member, and as a business owner in this community, that is a concern for me, and the schools really are our top priority. So I just really urge you to fund our schools to the absolute maximum you can. And I understand that means having to sacrifice in other areas, but I think it's a priority to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. That was the last person signed up to testify. I'm going to say one more chance to public comment. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify before us on the budget items?
My name is Brenda Taylor. I live at 995 Minute Hope Peninsula Road. I'm the parent of 2 children in the school system. I teach math part-time at the charter school, and I'm on the JDHS site council. And you've heard all the facts and figures. I don't have any new details except to say that I think everybody is so overwhelmed in terms of asking the legislature for more money that we haven't had a chance for the community to really tell you how much we value education. We value how much you've been able to give to us over the past. And I'm sorry that there hasn't been as much communication to you about how much we really do need this extra money within the cap and outside of the cap. I've just seen the effects of the decreased funding again and again and again everywhere, in the classroom, outside of the classroom, the counselors, the support staff. It's really sad as a teacher and as a parent to see those effects. And I just want to say how particularly hard it is for JDHS right now
when their enrollment is declining because we're evening out with Thunder Mountain and the budget is declining, we can offer fewer and fewer and fewer classes, which just makes things very difficult. We can't even have counselors to tell the teachers, I mean, the students, what kind of classes are offered. In any case, I want to say that the few people who've been able to communicate things to you, I think, are only a small piece of all the people who really do feel strongly about education and come to June because of that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Any questions for Ms. Taylor? Thank you very much. Okay, so that's the last person to testify, and we'll move and close public testimony, and we'll move forward to assembly action. Ms. Troll.
So would you like to take the non-school budget changes first?
Sure.
Okay. I don't have everything here. I just have a few that are.
Okay. Well, let me get a handle on what's going on here. Does somebody else have other changes besides what Mr. Troll is asking, Mr. Keel? And yours is related to schools.
School funding.
Okay. And yours isn't related to schools.
No.
Okay. We'll do Ms. Troll first, and then we'll do Mr. Keel second.
Okay.
Ms. Troll.
Thank you.
And I think you probably need to move the ordinance to get it before us, and then I guess ask for an amendment if you're going to want to change something.
Yes. Okay. I move ordinance 2014-24B for adoption.
Purpose of discussion?
Purposes of discussion.
Okay. Are there any objections? Seeing none. For purpose of discussion, Ms. Troll.
As we had a very intense finance committee meeting and with a little bit of time in between, I got to thinking about some of the aspects of our budget decisions. I certainly don't want to revisit the bulk of them, the 90% of them, but there were a few things that still concerned me. One was the reliance on the available fund balance that we have, and in your red booklet, as well as I shared this with Assembly Members Jones and Crane, who are online, is an outline where I would suggest that we use half of the amount that was allocated to go into the budget reserve, the $325,000. So the total amount for, that was supposed to be allocated for the budget reserve is $650,000. And so this is not taking money out. It's just not putting the full amount in. So my motion would be to put $325,000 into the budget reserve, use half of that now, and diminish the available fund balance. And my reasoning for doing this is looking forward to FY16, where the hole is even bigger than what we had to adjust this year and beyond. We have more flexibility if it's in the fund balance, once money goes into the reserve, then we have a higher bar to clear to be able to use it. And I think by putting half of it into the reserve, we're still honoring the voters' intent behind that initiative. And as part of our budget modeling, which we're going to do for the next following years, we can also then look at the same reserve question and are we putting enough forward or not. So my first motion would be to use $325,000 of the budget reserve and diminish the fund balance by that equivalent amount. And that's what's on the outline here.
And that's amendment number one then? Sounds like you're going to have something else.
Well, I'll explain the next two things. And
just do them one at a time.
Okay.
So this is amendment number one.
It's amendment number one.
Objection.
I have a question.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker has objected. Mr. Wanamaker, do you want to speak to your objection?
Yes. The budget reserve was adopted to serve emergencies. This assembly unanimously adopted a policy of setting aside a certain amount of money in order to get to that goal of 16% of what it takes to run the city for emergencies. and it's an important goal, and I'm not willing to change from that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a question for Ms. Trowell, if I may. When you say deposit half of it, keep put half of it in the budget reserve and use the other half, are those the words you use? What did you mean by use the other half?
The total amount that is slated right now to go into the budget reserve is $650,000. And I'm saying let's put half of that, $325,000, let's keep half of that in the budget reserve as it's scheduled, and use the remaining half to lower the available fund balance so that in future years, next year primarily, we may have a little bit more flexibility in the fund balance going forward.
Okay. Any other comments? Ms. Crane or Mr. Lauren Jones, do you have anything online to say?
I do. I appreciate Ms. Troll's intent, but I have, on a philosophical basis, a problem in general with the Assembly taking on and changing initiatives we put before the voters that they voted on. And I understand that it's advisory, but I don't feel comfortable changing that without a lot of discussion. I know that there's possibility of other changes down the road, but I think those will require a lot of discussion. And I just don't want to start down that slope of us independently changing something we put before the voters that some of us campaigned on to get the support to pass and then change our minds because we have some issues that we need to grapple with on the budget. I wished I could support this, but I can't. And I disagree with Mr. Wanamaker. I understand the budget reserve, and I understand wanting to put it in there. But I don't know that we necessarily diminish getting to that goal by this amendment, but I do oppose it just on the grounds that I don't think we should change voter initiatives just like on an evening time. So for that reason, I really, really reluctantly can't support this.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Crane, do you have anything?
No, I agree with Mr. Jones.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from the Assembly members here? There's objection, and we'll vote on Amendment 1. Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Manager.
I just wanted to make sure you realize that this change is not in the budget ordinance. It's actually in the CIP resolution that where we appropriate this funding. So it's one more document of the budget that are being forwarded tonight. So the change to put $325 into the budget reserve is part of the CIP.
But it affects the end bottom line of this.
It will affect both.
Right.
But so just so you know, it's got to be changed in not just one place, but two places.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Ms. Troll?
I just wanted to make one last comment in that, you know, on some of the CIP projects were also voter initiative, and we are adjusting those and postponing those in light of our current budget dilemma. And it's not my intent to diminish the ultimate goal of getting to a 16% reserve, but we are actually reducing the budget significantly now, and perhaps that reserve amount might be adjusted. We'll know that better after we do our budget modeling. So,
I guess I would just say we have to get there first.
We got to get there first.
We're not there, and we're not to where we need to be required to be. So
right.
We have to get there first. So we're voting on amendment number one. Madam Clerk, please take the poll.
Okay. Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keough?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion failed.
All right, Ms. Troll, do you have something else for us?
Yes. I just had a reminiscence of my time on the Ketchikan Assembly where I did my 6-1 budget votes.
Don't worry, we all have those.
We've all been there, so I now have my first one chalked up. All right, let's hope the next one goes a little better. At our Finance Committee, let me put the amendment on the floor before I speak to it. I would like to move that we restore the $52,000 for the employee parking and move for discussion on that.
And that's amendment number 2?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Are there any objections to that? Mr. Wanamaker?
It's fine to move that you, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to point out something. It's fine to move that you restore funding for something, but where will the money come from?
Well, my previous proposal was to take it from the budget reserve that is presented in the outline. And since that motion failed, obviously the difference would have to be made up in the available fund balance. And I would like to point out that the reason for my doing this is when it came up before us in the Finance Committee on first blush, it sounded like a good thing, and I actually voted for it. But in learning more about the consequences, I realized that it was making – we have employees that work in the Valley that get their parking free. Employees downtown would be penalized, so we were setting up different classes of employees. There could potentially be repercussions in downtown parking and all of that. So it just really wasn't very well thought out. Right now, we're asking our employees to step up and carry more of a load through all the reductions that we've done. And so this was being seen as punitive. But I didn't want to go there. But more importantly, it was not making two different classes of employees, Valley versus downtown, that I think this merits restoring.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to amend.
Has anybody objected to the?
I will object.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker.
I objected for purpose of an amendment.
And we got 2 objections.
Okay. I would like to amend Ms. Troll's motion to make the restoring of the parking for the employees to the 2015 year only and discuss any kind of continuation of that. Put it on the list where we're discussing everything else for 16.
And did you have a place where you would get it? No. 52,000?
It's Ms. Troll's motion. I'm just making an amendment. I'm cutting her motion, actually. I'm restoring money to the budget.
52,000 for the 2015 year.
Yes.
And I would consider that a friendly amendment.
We don't really do friendly amendments,
but
amendment. That's fine. Mr. Wanamaker, you have
to. Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I maintain my objection. I'll speak to it now.
Okay.
This was not authorized nor discussed with the Assembly when it was provided. And it's an expense that I'm not willing to incur because we all have to share in the reductions. And I'm, because it was not authorized and discussed previously, I'm not willing to restore it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker, Mr. Jones or Ms. Crane, do you have anything at your end over the phone?
Not for me.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Keough?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've actually thought a fair amount about this one, and I'm a little torn on it. I mean, I'm not particularly concerned about how it was added. The authorization for these funds was in our previous budgets, and we have every opportunity to dig into the level of depth we want to dig into. I am not particularly interested in exactly where a new garbage can is added, and so, you know, the level to which I dig in these budgets is the level to which I think our constituents expect in broad strokes. So the fact that we authorized this money previously and how we authorized it doesn't particularly concern me in terms of whether we fund it again this year. And that's the question I'm grappling with at its deepest level. Because, you know, when there's not enough room to park downtown, people park at my house. So I get it. and I guess I am very sympathetic to the concern Ms. Troll raised about different classes of city employees. We do provide parking for our employees who do not work downtown. At the same time, I think we have two big concerns. One is that this is an optional benefit to our employees. And I will be the first to the barricades to defend a benefit we bargain with our employees and agree upon with them. But this doesn't fall into that category. And the second is that it comes down to a question of priorities. And for me, in going through what has been a very painful budget process this year, there are things we have cut that are of a higher priority than any given group of employees' opportunity to park. I understand that there are folks who work for our city who are looking at pulling another $600 out of their pocket every year, potentially. There are also folks who work for our city who are looking at a pink slip. Quite a few of them, in fact. And we've all engaged in this budget process in good faith, and we've looked at the job and how it can be done, as opposed to whether that person with a pink slip is a friend of ours. And some of them are friends of mine. And so my priorities here, having come to that point, just can't stretch to parking passes. So I'm going to speak against the amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Keel, anybody else? Madam Clerk, will you please take a vote?
Sure.
On the amendment. Amendment 2, which is reducing the $52,000 for 2015. Keeping the $52,000 for 2015, restoring it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Point of order?
Yes.
There was an amendment, then there was an amendment to the amendment, and I believe Mr. Wanamaker objected to that one as well. So the first vote should be whether to limit it only to 2015, and then back on the main motion, I believe.
Mr. Jones, the amendment was accepted by Ms. Troll into her amendment, so it became not a second amendment. It's the second amendment that we're doing, but not amendment 2 and 3, okay?
So what we're voting on is restoring the $52,000 parking for 2015 only.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Madam Clerk?
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion fails 4A, 5 nays.
Thank you. Ms. Troll, are you Have anything else?
I think I'm going to pass to Mr. Jones for the next amendment.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got one. So let me begin.
This will be amendment number 3.
Yes, thank you. Third try is the charm, as they say. Mr. Mayor, I move that we increase the CBJ contribution to the school district by $392,500, and I'll speak to the motion. Since our last Finance Committee meeting, the school board did have the opportunity to meet. You heard one of our public testifiers allude to that, and they had a fairly lengthy and eloquent discussion, which I will not do justice, but I will summarize it by pointing out that the flexibility the assembly provided them to move money from activities into the classroom wasn't new dollars, and to make those cuts both would be a surprise to the public, would be a real problem administratively, since they've already advertised for, and I think they're reaching agreements with their coaches according to their collective bargaining agreements, and ultimately would be a major change that their Citizen Budget Committee didn't have the opportunity to look at. Bottom line, there weren't any new dollars for the add-back list. And so it was the decision of the school board to leave those dollars in the activities. And to be fair, I didn't have the level of detail on where those dollars went. Programs like the Juno Music Matters, a jam program, and some of the at-risk kids activities. But the fact remains that education is of vital importance, and it is important to the future prosperity of any community. Our class sizes have been rising, and they're set to rise again this year at all grade levels, including where student learning is absolutely the most sensitive to class size, and that's in elementary school. So it takes dollars to pay teachers, and as I said in our finance committee, it pains me to think that for the first time since I came to live in this community, got married, had kids, and am raising them in this community, for the first time we won't be funding to the cap. But I don't think I can come up with a higher priority for this budget than to keep our elementary school class sizes from rising. And that takes $392,500 from the CBJ, additional dollars. And that is the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Is there objections to the amendment? Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker.
Before I
Karen.
I'd like to know what where this money would go. Are we talking about money for under the cap or money for over the cap, and for what purpose?
My proposal is to add this to our general contribution to the school district. I never envy the school board its decision between activities and class sizes and all the other things they must do in any given year. But it's my belief that they'll add back additional dollars according to their add-back list, and that goes to elementary school class sizes first.
The question still remains, Mr. Mayor. Is that under the cap? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, part of our general contribution under the cap.
Mr. Mayor, this is Karen, and I have a question.
Just a minute, Madam Crane. Mr. Wanamaker, finish.
I'll object, but I'll wait to state the reasons for my objection.
Thank you. Ms. Crane, go ahead.
I am asking Mr. Keel where the money is to come from and how he proposes to fund this.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's the next amendment.
Well, I'm not voting on the first one until I know where the second one's coming from.
Mr. Mayor, I don't recall any requirement in our rules of procedure that we decide them in that order. I'm open to suggestions. I have an idea myself, but I think the critical thing tonight, the critical thing on Amendment 3 is to decide whether we're going to let the class size of an elementary school go up or not.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any other questions? Mr. Jones, do you have any?
No.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate both of the things, but I think if I had to choose, I'd go for class size before activities. But I certainly worked on activities and activity money. But it was my understanding that when we put money into the schools, if we put money, extra money into the schools, they would take their priority list, which was to restore teachers in lower class size. If they took the money that we took, that we put outside the cap that used to go for activities and put it inside the cap where they could have done exactly that, and they chose to give it to activities. Am I making myself clear? There, that, let's just call $300,000. $300,000 was outside the cap, and it was earmarked for activities. We took that money and put it inside the cap, and instead of restoring teachers in class and lowering class size, they spent it for activities. Am I wrong about that, or is that how it went?
I'm going to give a little bit of leeway here, but we need to stay to the amendment. So, Mr. Keel, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do appreciate the leeway. To do as you described would have required cutting money, cutting spending on things like the JAM program and the other activities. The add-back list, as the school district has always presented it to us, is the order in which they would add back proposed cuts if they got additional funding. And our activity or our action at our finance committee didn't provide additional funding. It did provide additional flexibility, but not additional dollars, as this amendment would provide.
Any other questions or comments? Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just 2 points of clarification. I believe we did give them more money than we did last year. Is that correct?
Madam Manager?
The total was higher?
No.
We're looking.
Because of the increased state funding.
No.
All right. I stumped them with that question. All right. So the second thing that I wanted to say is that our decision here is how much money we give to the district. Class size is a decision the school board makes, mm-hmm. not us. We decide to give them the money. Where they put the money is their decision, not our decision. So I believe that it is probably premature to say that we're adding back teachers by adding back these dollars. We're adding back dollars. And what the school district does with them is the school district's prerogative, not ours.
Mr. Bartholomew.
Thank you. To the chair and Mr. Nankervis. So the CBJ funding from FY14 to 15 remained exactly the same. The state funding increased the school district did increase from 14 to 15.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Troll?
I would like to speak in support of this motion. As we noted in our previous finance committee that, you know, education funding is a priority of this community, and we have a history of trying to fund to the cap by actually increasing funding to the level proposed by Mr. Keel. We maybe get a third of the way to funding to the cap. And I think it's incumbent upon us to make an effort in that direction. And I supported it earlier, and I will continue to support the additional increase for the school.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Anybody else, any other comments? Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you. I believe it is very important that this assembly understand where funding will come from before it makes a decision as to whether or not it should support a funding request. You can't fund something you don't have money for. So it is not I think, appropriate to take this step without understanding where the proposed funds would come from, and then make that decision and then come back and visit this. I think it would be prudent for the maker of the motion to table it and then take up the issue of where the funds would come from. It is not only a courtesy to the rest of the assembly, but it is an important expression of utilizing the role of this body in maintaining trust with the public. Thank you.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would say to the previous speaker that I'm open to his amendment if he'd like to offer one, but that this is the process we've followed throughout our budget process. We have decided on an individual spending item, whether it goes up, whether it goes down, whether we accept it or not. We look then to the bottom line, and again, collectively, as an assembly, we decide on where the funding comes from. That's been our process, and that's the process I put forward tonight. Again, happy to take his suggestions, or even if he'd like to propose an amendment, that would, I think, be in order.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. And we have before us amendment number 3, and that is to restore to the schools $392,000 and $392,500. Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, move to table the amendment, which would take up the issue of funding.
Object.
Objection has been noted. Read the vote, please.
Okay. Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion to table.
We're missing one. Did we get everybody? Mr. Wanamaker?
Mr. Wanamaker, sorry. Had you marked down as making the motion. Okay.
Mr. Wanamaker, and you voted what?
I voted yes.
Thank you. Okay.
I'll speak to my objection to the main motion then.
Please tally the table.
The main amendment.
Madam Clerk. Just a minute, Mr. Wanamaker.
The motion to table failed 3A, 6-nay.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you. I'll speak against the amendment to provide additional funding. The school district has always had the authority to decide to restore positions. They have adequate funding. They have more funding than ever, fewer students than ever. They're choosing to buy stuff instead of fully supporting staff and students as their budget task force recommended. So I can't support this. We have done our duty by this community in terms of education. And I'm saying that as a former school board member and a former member and chairman of the budget task force for the city school board for a number of years. I know we have done our duty by them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. If there's no more discussion, we'll vote. Thank you. We'll vote on amendment number 3, which is to restore $392,500 to the schools. Madam Clerk?
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
No. Amendment number 3.
Motion failed.
Thank you.
4A, 5-nay.
I was getting ahead of you there.
Okay.
Thank you. And do we have any other amendments?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Jones?
Yes. In light of the motion to restore the money for employee parking having failed, and I know we're talking about an appropriation ordinance here, but I guess my amendment that I would like to offer is that the assembly authorizes the manager to work with department heads, and to the extent possible within the existing budget, the manager is authorized to continue to pay for employee parking with the funds available in the budget passed by the assembly.
Mr. Wanamaker.
I'll object. Thank you.
Mr. Jones, could you be a little bit more specific or more clear?
Basically, if we remove the funding, and when I spoke to the manager, she felt that she could not continue to fund the program because we had eliminated the funding. Mr. Wanamaker spoke earlier that he felt that this wasn't authorized by the assembly in any way, and while I disagree with that, and since we did not restore the money, I wanted to, through this amendment, tell the city manager that if she can find funds within the existing budget to pay for employee parking, she may continue the program.
Madam Manager, is this appropriate? Maybe the law department. Is this appropriate at this time to be an amendment to this budget deal, giving direction to the city manager?
I don't know that it's an amendment to this ordinance, but it's a motion for clarification.
Well, then it's out of line if it's not have to do with this ordinance that we're talking about right now. We're doing amendments too.
Well, he's not amending this ordinance the way that I understood it. He was in part seeking clarification of what the striking of that line item was from this ordinance. So it's related and significant to this ordinance. I don't know that it would come up outside of it.
Ms. Troll.
Under this major budget ordinance, we've also have given some direction to staff about looking at budget modeling and streamlining and revisiting, and I consider Mr. Jones's motion in that category in providing additional, you know, flexibility to the manager, and we're just given some direction. So while I can't rule on it as Department of Law, I think it's appropriate at this time.
Would it be written in this ordinance somewhere, Ms. Troll? This ordinance is before us, everybody. So, Madam Law Department, would whatever we're trying to give direction to the city manager for be written into this ordinance?
No.
I just don't see it as in line with what we're discussing right now. It might come up later on.
It could come up later on.
So I rule that it's out of order. And if, Mr. Jones, if you want to bring this up at a later date somehow, then you're more than welcome to, or later on this evening.
Yeah.
I will definitely bring it up later on this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
I tell the city attorney not to leave.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Okay, so any other amendments? Ms. Troll.
I will try one more amendment, and that is to restore the $3,500 that was cut to the Small Business Development Center. And I'll move it for discussion purposes.
Thank you. And this amendment number 5. And Ms. Troll, discussion?
Yes. When we were considering all the assembly grants, we reduced everybody by 5%. But when we got to the Small Business Development Center, we reduced it further because we were trying to finesse the charges that the university would charge against that program. And there's since been clarification that we didn't achieve the end goal, and essentially we would be imposing an additional cut to the Small Business Development Center, and given their job performance and the number of businesses they help, I don't see the need to cut them any further than the 5% than we have all the other assembly grants. So by restoring the $3,500, it just gets us back to that level playing field for all the grantees. And I would suggest that this nominal amount would just come out of the available fund balance.
Thank you. Ms. Troll, is there any other discussion on this amendment, amendment number five? Mr. Nankervis?
Objection.
Objection. You want to speak to your objection?
No, I spoke to these things last Wednesday at Finance. Thank you. If I'd have known, actually, that we were going to come in here and make a whole bunch of amendments, I would have thought up a whole bunch of things, because I did a lot of compromising at the Wednesday Finance Committee meeting, and I could have came up with a whole bunch of things that probably wouldn't have been accepted. Some might have been, but I was under the impression we were generally done. I don't recall doing this last year, and we hashed this all out last week, and I'm sure anything that we talked about, we could get more information from somebody and keep doing this and keep doing this and keep doing this, and I'm not willing to do that. Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis, is there any other discussion on this? This is to restore, amendment number five is to restore the $3,500 fund to the Small Business Administration program that we cut out with a misinterpretation of how they receive their funds. So this puts that $3,500 back in. Is there any objections to that? Mr. Nankervis did, yes. Boy, I'm really getting pissed up. Please read the vote.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Ms. Turrell?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 6A, 3 nay.
Okay. If there's no other amendments to Ordinance 2014-24B, we have a motion before us to accept that. Is there any other? And you guys are keeping us straight here, because we're playing with four different things here, and at the end of the night, I want to be straight here. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. If there's no other amendments, we are ready to vote on Ordinance 2014-24B. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the main motion.
Okay.
I'm voting against the budget tonight, and I honestly didn't think I was going to end up in this position. We do a biennial budget, and while only 1 year is adopted as such, that the second year we plan, and I don't like biennial budgets, because they tend to give people a false sense of certainty, but some things are predictable. This budget leaves us in a predictable hole, not a small hole. This budget does not solve our city's financial problems. We can predict with some of the cuts we made. We can predict longer times to get a building permit. We can predict less enforcement of our rules. We can predict decreased quality of life and some of the amenities we have cut. But we can also predict a hole where the dollars come. We deferred $1 million of capital projects to make this budget balance, and there are things that, near as I can tell, everybody up here agrees we need to do. So it's effectively a one-time funding source, and we know that's going to be a gaping hole when we go to pay for these things later. We know that we have some fixed cost increases coming up in things like personnel. We have done an incredible job over the years. I should say our city employees have done an incredible job over the years in holding down healthcare cost increases, but they can't stay at almost 0% a year forever. We know that's coming. We certainly can't draw dramatically more. I think about $1.5 million more from our savings every year than we put into it. You know, we give our city manager a remarkable amount of flexibility in budgeting to a bottom line and meeting that bottom line in whatever ways she sees fit, and it's a better budget process than a lot of government units use by trying to wring out every nickel at the top, because it leaves managers in a bad position. So we do direct our manager to drop a certain amount to the bottom line each year, but if we draw more from those funds than we have any possible expectation of dropping to those funds each year, we're digging a hole. Now maybe the federal government will sprinkle largesse from afar unexpectedly on us and help us out for a while. Or maybe the state government will come up with a money fairy as they're on their beginning their program to phase out revenue sharing. But I don't think anybody up here would count on that kind of maybe for their home budget. And I don't think we ought to count on it for our city budget. So we have made some commitments to one another and to the public to look at more efficient ways to do business in city government. And I think that's good. I think we absolutely need to do those things, especially when it comes to our recreation facilities. I think there are things we can do to further break down some of the barriers between our departments. Somebody used the term right size. I just think it's doing government a little smarter, a little more efficiently. But the back of my envelope says we got a $4 million budget hole next year without blinking. And there isn't $4 million in efficiencies at two pools and an ice rink, or who plows which snow when, for us to wring out next year. So this budget doesn't put us on a sustainable path. It doesn't get us where the people of Juneau deserve for our budget to be. We ought to be in a place where we can look at next year and say, well, come what may, you know, costs may go up more than we think, income may not do what we think it will, but we think we're probably going to be okay. Nobody can look at this budget and think we're going to be okay. And if in the process we're letting our school class sizes go up, this budget doesn't do the job it has to do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any other comments on 2014-24B? Seeing none, are you ready for the vote? Thank you. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Okay. Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 7 A's, 2 nays.
Thank you. We'll move on to Ordinance Serial Number 2014-25B. Madam Clerk?
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY15 school district operations.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
This ordinance would appropriate to the school district an FY15 operating budget of $158,373,800. The FY15 school budget is supported with a combination of fund sources that includes local funding of $24,904,400,
This consists of 24,526,900 for general operations, 172,500 for student activities, 70,000 for pupil transportation, 135,000 for community schools. The $24,526,900 in general operating support is an increase in funding of $392,500 over FY14. This amount is directly offset in a reduction in funding to student activities outside of the cap. The original ordinance was introduced at the April 7, 2014 Assembly meeting and referred to the Assembly Finance Committee for deliberation. The Assembly Finance Committee moved the amended ordinance at its May 7, 2014 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We've already had public comment on this through the first ordinance. Is there anybody else that wishes to publicly comment on this that has not already? Thank you. Public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Keel?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Wanamaker?
I move ordinance 2014-25B, and I ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Are there any objections? Mr. Wanamaker, go ahead.
Yes, by asking for a no vote, I'm saying that we should vote this down.
Thank you, Mr.
So
Wanamaker.
People understand that. I'll speak to my reasoning. My reason for it is this. The school district has not provided the information that was requested. I asked for specific information about pupil transportation. We're funding outside of the cap. I was not provided that information. That request came from this body. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker.
I object.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Objection. If there isn't any other comments, we'll vote on this. Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you. Perhaps we should hear from the city attorney. But if you object, I'm not sure what you're doing, whether you're voting with me and voting no, or if you're saying that you wish to vote yes, because if my understanding is that the correct vote, if you wish to support the budget, is a yes vote, I'm asking you to vote no and vote it down.
Well, I thought that was part of your motion. So I agree. I am supporting the ordinance. As proposed.
As proposed, yes. Thank you, Ms. Crane. Any other comments?
Yes.
Ms. Troll.
Thank you. I will be voting against this, but for completely the opposite reason that Mr. Wanamaker has expressed, in that if there is one place we should be able to fund a little bit more, it is for education. I've made those remarks. We know it's a priority in this community. We know people will support revenue increases for the schools, and we really aren't addressing that through this budget ordinance right now. So my no vote is for exactly the opposite reason of Mr. Wanamaker's.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. If there's no other comments, we'll move to the vote. Madam Clerk, we'll vote on ordinance 2014-25B.
Mr. Nankervis.
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 7A to nay.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, when you're ready, if you'll read ordinance 2014-26B.
An ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes for calendar year 2014 for the budget for fiscal year 2015.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report.
The mill levies presented in this ordinance support the manager's FY15 budget that has been reviewed by the Assembly Finance Committee.
The Assembly Finance Committee approved a motion on May 7, 2014 to move these proposed mill rates to the Assembly for action. The amended mill rate for roaded service area is 2.2, for the fire service is 0.42, area-wide operations is 6.64, debt service is 1.50, for a total of 10.76. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this that hasn't already commented on budget things? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward for Assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-26B and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Mr. Sure. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You object?
I do object.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Speak to my objection.
Okay.
Mr. Nankervis pointed out there's not any new information on this one. However, my previous comments about a total budget package that doesn't put our city on a sustainable path, on a strong path for our future, apply here as well. Our mill rate, in fact, the originally proposed mill rate would have remained one of the lower mill rates in organized Alaska, well below Anchorage, below Skagway and Palmer and most of Fairbanks and on and on. We could. I had a list of about eight earlier tonight, and I thought I wouldn't belabor it by going on encyclopedically. I do not smile when I pay my tax bill each year. But the simple fact remains that public services do require revenues. And budgets with giant holes in them going forward, budgets that overspend from our savings, are not a responsible way to take care of this community in the long run. We're doing a number of things to expand our tax base. I believe we introduced an ordinance tonight that sets us up another step down the path toward a city land disposal. We're taking a lot of good steps, but this mill rate levy does nothing to address the revenue side of the equation, and we did a lot to address the spending side of the equation in our budget this year. But an unbalanced approach that doesn't solve the problem isn't what we were sent here to do. So I will be voting no and ask others to join me.
Thank you. Mr. Keel, Ms. Troll?
Yes, I'll be joining Mr. Keel in voting no on this. For many of the same reasons he outlined, but I do want to elaborate a little bit about where we are in terms of our economy and our mill levy. There are certain people here who feel like the business sector is hurting and can't afford that, and yet when I read the reports from the Juneau Economic Development Council, I hear that our private sector has gained by 3%. Overall, wages have gained by 5%. When we had a presentation on the Juneau Economic Development Plan, it is perceived that our economic well-being is relatively good. So in helping carry toward a sustainable budget in the future, I think it's better to raise the mill levy slightly and maintain it slightly as opposed to try to get a big spike. The business sector says they want stability. So in my mind, having a slight mill levy, half of what the city manager had proposed, would have started to put us back on that path of sustainability with a very minor increase in the mill levy. And I would like to remind people that the mill levy, you know, it came down, has come down since 2005 and been flat for the last 7 years. Meanwhile, government sector, that is the only place that has remained flat in our economy. And, you know, as a result of our actions here and previous assemblies, we've been holding the line and reducing government. I don't know exactly the right number of full-time equivalent people that have been lost in this through the city government. I tried to get that figure anyway. Our actions here today, we've eliminated 12 full-time positions. The school district is going to eliminate another 11 positions. So we have done our part on the cut side of the ledger to build us toward a sustainable budget. And we have not been willing to look modestly at the revenue side of the ledger via the mill levy. So by not looking at the mill levy, as was pointed out in testimony here, it shifts it all to what are we going to do with sales tax? And sales tax puts the burden on the people who can afford it least. So I do think that we are being a bit short-sighted by not addressing a very modest mill levy increase this year. So I will be in voting no along with Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Any other comments? Mr. Smith.
Simply to say that we've had this discussion, and I think it was a complete discussion. I'm in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any other comments? Madam Clerk, please take the poll on 2014-26B.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 7A, 2nay.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And Madam Manager and staff, are we all good here now? We've kept everything straight between the three that we passed so far?
So far. Okay. Right. Got one more to go.
Right. Okay. I just want to make sure we stay current here. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for Resolution 2682B?
A resolution adopting the City and Borough Capital Improvement Program for fiscal years 2015 through 2020 and establishing the capital improvement project priorities for fiscal year 2015.
Thank you. Madam Manager?
The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed the CIP at its meetings on February 6th and March 17th, 2014, and reported the plan to the Finance Committee. The Planning Commission reviewed the CIP at its April 8th, 2014 meeting and submitted comments to the Assembly. The Finance Committee reviewed the CIP Resolution 2682 at its April 9th, 2014 meeting and amended Resolution 2682 on May 7th and moved it to the Assembly for action. Version B reduced the CIPs for general, for area-wide sales tax priorities by $1,050,000. It removed $50,000 from the Eagle Crest Lift Mountain operation improvements and from Public Works streets and sidewalk repairs. And it postponed the Parks and Recreation Treadwell Arena entrance paving for $100,000, the Public Works Water, Cope Park Water Main Improvements for $350,000, and Public Works Streets Water Sewer Front Street in Douglas for $500,000. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And again, I will ask the public if there's nobody or if there's somebody here who has not spoke on the budget stuff, you're welcome to speak on this one, capital improvement. Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move to Assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Resolution 2682B and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections, Ms. Troll?
For purposes of discussion, I know that in previous committee of the whole meetings, I've asked, as well as Assembly Member Crane has asked, that the capital transit CIP items be included in our CIP plan. The mid-year items that we approved as an Assembly, we approved those, and there was a request that they be incorporated into our CIP schedule. And I did not see them incorporated, or am I mistaken?
Are those dollar items?
There were dollar items. There were, some shelters that were proposed. Right. If we want to go into Lemon Creek, that required a new bus. There were those mid-years. There were the midterm recommendations of the transit plan, which we approved.
We approved the concept of the bus plan in general.
Right.
We did not approve the individual increases at all. Those will come separately as we move forward.
And the way to move them forward is to incorporate them into our CIP five-year plan. Otherwise, what is an aspirational plan becomes a fictional plan.
And that's a possibility which has to go through a committee and be voted on at a committee that
and
will move up through us.
Did discuss this. It's my recollection. I know I brought it up, and I believe Assembly Member Crane brought it up.
You were going to explain?
I will try. Some of those improvements are bonded projects, and we want to wait for the new Capital Transit Director to get here or manager to get here and implement those things. And so when we have a plan to go forward, we have the money there because it's bonded money. We will come back to the Assembly for direction on how to spend those funds and give you specific items that we will use with that bonded money.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with Ms. Troll that there are a number of items there that I think would be very beneficial to the system and would perhaps lead to increased income through the system. And I'm hoping that what we can do is take a look at some of those and consider them as part of our request to go forward to the legislature next year to be funded.
That's an appropriate avenue also, Ms. Green. So if we want to put those things on the CIP list, they have to get into Public Works and Mr. Watts and come up from the Public Works to the COW and then on to us and go through the Planning Commission. So that's how they get there. Any still objection to the CIP resolution?
I remove my objection.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Is there any objection to resolution 2682B, Capital Improvement Program, being adopted? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Is this an appropriate time to bring up a motion?
Sure. Unfinished business, we can do it there. Right now.
Mayor, I would move that the Assembly authorize the manager to continue the paying of employee parking to the extent that she and the department heads can do that within the existing budget.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Is there any objection? Mr. Nankervis objects.
I object.
Do you wish to speak to it, Mr. Nankervis?
Yes, I do. Again, some of this will be covering ground we already have. This is non-negotiated, non-contractual. I believe it's arbitrary. I can tell you from a former city employee, I did about 10 years downtown, and I did about 10 years in Lemon Creek. I believe that there's unions in place that if they want to negotiate this as part of their contract, that for downtown employees, they get provided parking, they can. But there's a couple of other things that come into play. I, and probably several of you, have received several or numerous complaints from people about not being able to park in the parking garages. We built those parking garages to provide parking to people that come downtown. And by us purchasing those stalls with our money, it's twofold. One, we lose the money, but two, we don't gain the revenue from having paid parking in those places. And again, back to my comment about having worked 10 years downtown, I did this thing called carpooling. I also did this thing called walking from a greater distance as opposed to parking at the front door. And I know some people do that. Not everybody does that. But looking at a $12 to $15 million shortfall, I would say this is something that we just can't afford to do at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Any other discussion? Madam Clerk, please take the toll on this in giving direction to the city manager to take out of the existing budget or finding out of the existing budget the dollars for the parking situation, if at all possible.
Direction or authorizations?
Direction was what? Mr. Jones, you said direction, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
To authorize the manager to continue paying employee parking to the extent that she and the department heads could do that within the existing budget.
I think he used the word available funds. Maybe different.
Yes, Mr. Keel.
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, I think authorization to the manager is certainly acceptable to me. I talked about management flexibility and our opportunity to work with our employees. I don't know if it's cost share or whatever. Direction suggests to me that we're just telling her to take it out of something else. So to the extent the emotion is the clerk read it, authorization to work on it, I'm okay with this. Direction, I'm not.
Mr. Jones?
I believe the way the clerk read the motion is probably correct, and I used the word authorize.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Madam Clerk.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion carries 5A, 4nay.
Thank you. Okay, any other unfinished business? New business? We're square, Mr. Bartholomew? Thank you. Staff reports.
None, thank you.
Thank you. Assembly reports? No mayor report this evening. Committee reports? Mr. Smith?
No land report.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing, thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met just before tonight's assembly meeting. We reviewed the community development block grant process and adjusted. We liked staff's suggestion to adjust the time frame so that they would, rather than bring the committee an annual report on the community development block grant process, it hasn't changed much over the years. They would invite us to the same meeting that the public gets invited to and bring us a recommendation a little earlier so that they have more time to work with a potential grantee before the amendments are, before the proposals are due. But I wanted to make sure the full assembly was aware of that little shift we won't be seeing in HRC packets when they come across your desk next year. that same report to clue you in that the process is coming. We reviewed and recommended forwarding two proposed resolutions, one resolution and one ordinance. One is pretty much a housekeeping measure having to do with getting all our rules of procedure for assembly advisory boards under one resolution, so it's one place to look. The other had to do with the commercial passenger vehicle code, our commercial driver permits. The way it reads right now, they can be revoked for someone who has a criminal sex offense, but they can't be denied in the first place, which didn't make a lot of sense. This will come across our desks soon to fix that. The only other thing the HRC did this evening, Mr. Mayor, was recommend reappointment of Mr. Steve Wolf to the Human Rights Commission for a term expiring May 31st, 2017.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker?
Public Works will meet on June 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met May 5th. We discussed the wireless communication ordinance. Planning Commission has that, and they're working on it.
Thank you.
I'm not through.
Hurry up.
Okay.
Keep going.
The Juneau Affordable Housing requested $75,000 from their existing fund. We approved it and asked the manager to work with them to prepare the scope of work and a CIP. CIP forwarded to the Assembly approval of a increase of water and wastewater rate of 9.5 for 2015, 2016, and 2017.
Thank you. Liaison reports. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe the only thing I wanted to report on is I believe the June 2nd Committee of the Whole, part of that will be a joint meeting between the Assembly and the Docks and Harbors Board. And I wanted to thank whoever put that together. I've been trying for the last year and a half, and I look forward to that meeting. That's all I have tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Madam Manager put that together for us. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assemblymember Becker covered the Planning Commission, which is basically working on the wireless right now. That's the big topic. Airport Board met and had a fairly light agenda last Wednesday, which I was able to go to instead of finance for a change. And the big thing, I guess, is the second baggage scanner. They hope to have operational, I believe, at the end of this week. And they have several additional TSA staff that are coming into town. I don't remember exactly the number right now. And the concessioner is up and running, and food is available in both the departure lounge and the other side, the non-departure side. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nankervis, good job. Ms. Troll.
Yes, I was able to attend the Juneau Commission on Sustainability. They got an invitation to be involved in the airport sustainability plan, looking at scope of services. Community Development Director Hal Hart informed them about the Auk Bay area planning process and encouraged their participation.
Thank you, Mr. O. Mr. Smith?
Meeting schedule is tentative for the Convention Visitors Bureau. I have no Eagle Crest report tonight.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Crane?
Nothing on the hospital. I forgot to mention earlier under committee reports, there is a finance committee meeting this Wednesday evening.
Thank you.
Yes.
And we have...
No, I thought so too.
It's here.
There's a packet on your desk, everybody, so don't throw it away. Again, for the finance committee meeting. So save that. And read up on it for Wednesday night. Thank you, Ms. Crane. Anything else?
I just wanted to say, Assemblyman, well, it's not a liaison report. Never mind. I'll wait.
Okay. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission met a couple weeks ago, had a lengthy discussion with our economic development plan contractor, and also was pleased to see the rezone of the Peterson Hill area properties move forward. I believe I mentioned that earlier this evening. The only thing I didn't have a chance to mention earlier this evening from the school board is that they received more than 50 applications for superintendent, and their committee will get rolling on winnowing those down. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee met about a week ago, but I was enjoying the weather and forgot to attend.
Okay. How about the task force on NOAA, Mr. Wanamaker?
Yeah, the task force on NOAA met on May 12th, and I think Ms. Troll could give a better committee report than I can, and because I was there making sure that we followed the public notice rules and procedures, and she's involved in actually doing some of the work.
All right, Ms. Troll.
Okay, pass it. I'll catch. We were able to hear from Doug DeMaster, who is the director of the Alaska Fishery Science Center here, gave us some historical background, and it ended up being a very, I felt, very positive, engaging discussion. He intends to work with us. We identified possibly four or five areas that could result in the growth of 30 to 50 potential jobs. We discussed a strategy about growing positions as opposed to trying to grab from Washington. And it seems like that's going to be a little bit more effective strategy. So he's agreed to answer a list of questions, and our co-chair, Greg Fisk, is preparing a list for him. But it was great to have his attendance, and he was very open and welcoming this whole initiative.
Mm-hmm. All right, good.
And Mr. Mayor, the one part I will add to that is that during the discussion, part of what we discussed was vessels for the NOAA fleets and their various purposes and their ongoing maintenance repair needs and the need for future vessels of a more modern design. And I really got into the details of vessel maintenance and repairs and conversions because of my shipyard days. But it was a really interesting discussion when it came to vessels. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The chamber is changing location. They're going to have their weekly luncheons at the airport community room starting this Thursday. And Abby's Kitchen is doing the food. Alaska Committee is going to have a retreat June 11th. My campus council report, the bookstore is closing. The books will be sold during class sign-up, and they'll try to find a place to sell the other items like the T-shirts and so forth. There's a new food manager, and improvements are being made in the food. HECLA is continuing with their $3 million investment to the mining program. Mike Bell is retiring, so there will be getting a new director for the program. Next year, you'll be able to get a new certified medical assistant certificate through that program. The alumni made $15,000 at their annual dinner auction. We should talk to them, probably. We took a tour of the new freshman dorm. It was wonderful. It's due to open in August. There are 120 beds, and I asked to have the room up at the top floor. Gorgeous views of the glacier, and I'm going to be the dorm mom. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Becker. Presiding officer reports. Do we have any open presiding officer reports? I know we have some open ones, but no action. I don't think. Mr. Keel?
Just in the Vic v. Animal Hearing Board, there were rulings on challenges to the record and motions to supplement the record. So the record is set, and next step should be the briefs.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mayor?
Yes, sir. Mr. Jones, go ahead.
Landscape Alaska appeal. The appellants requested to supplement the record. It's been opposed. They have until the 23rd to respond to that, and then I will have to make my ruling. Otherwise, we're pretty much on schedule.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Assembly comments and questions. I just have one for the assembly, and I've been, along with the city manager, thinking about how to put together and get the information out to those people who are going to sit on this committee, the tax-exempt committee that we're going to start in July. So I've talked to four people on the assembly, Jesse, Jerry, Mary, and Carlton all said yes, they would like to sit on that committee. Is there anybody else who wishes to sit on that committee? And then if you say yes, then I'll just have to choose four or five of you because we're not going to go above five, but we'll have five members.
Mayor, I believe last week I said I was willing to serve as well.
Yes.
And I sent you an email indicating
yes.
I was willing to serve.
Kate, Ms. Troll? Mr. Jones is on there. Anybody else? Okay. And so we'll be working on that in the next couple of weeks to get a charge put out and get who's going to be doing it and trying to set up a schedule of some sort to try to get moving on this right away so that we can get some things settled for our next year's budget again. That was the only big thing that I have to do. Anybody else? Assembly comments and questions? Ms. Becker?
Just I'll just mention a few things. There are lots of us who went to the Blessing of the Fleet, and thank you, Risha, for the wonderful brunch afterwards and for the ribbon cutting at Docks and Harbors. We were there. Thank you for the hot dogs. That was good. The police memorial service was very wonderful out at Thunder Mountain, very touching. Maritime Festival was well attended again. And some of the kind of different ones was I went to the Perseverance for a Yaku's had artists in the schools, and they wrote plays. They were absolutely wonderful. I mean, some of them were so funny. It was really good. Wonderful plays. Professional actors acted out the plays, but the students wrote the plays. And the other thing that I really enjoyed was going to Ok Bay Elementary. They had a thank you ceremony to the Okwan who owned the land where the building is standing. And so it was a thank you ceremony with dances and songs and gifts and food. It was really a nice event. I went to the Southeast Conference Lemonade Day to work at their stand. Lemonade Day will be June 14th, and this is an opportunity for young people to learn how to be an entrepreneur. And Southeast Conference sponsors this. And then also did art awards with Ms. Crane to the elementary schools. Busy month. And tours, I mean, great tours. Not only the UAS dorm, but also took a tour of SLAM and the SOBLOC building.
Mm-hmm.
One of the privileges of being on the assembly, you get asked to go take tours.
All right. Great. Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wanamaker?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Keel?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Becker was encyclopedic.
But you did all the things, too.
Ms. Crane?
Well, I would just say, too, that Mr. Keel and I also attended the graduation ceremonies at CERC. And for me, it's always one of the events each year that I really enjoy being there. And this year, Mr. Keel did an excellent job as the graduation commencement speaker.
All right. Congratulations, Mr. Keel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two things briefly. I want to thank the finance chair, the finance director, and the manager for the work on this challenging budget. And I mean that sincerely. I think that the assembly dealt very fairly with these issues. And also wanted to recognize Mr. Keel for his timely reference to sustainability and the next cycle that we're going into. His reference to the preserving quality of life and those services that we all value. I just wanted to remind the Assembly, if you haven't looked at our goals lately, we do have a standing goal to develop, asking the manager to develop a financial plan in view of the decline of state and federal funds. And that's happening simultaneously. And that we also have asked the manager in this plan to utilize a third party to conduct this review. And I suggest that we should ask the manager to step up the timing on preparation of this plan. And further, I'd like to suggest that such a financial plan be prepared to report directly to the assembly. And I'm going to bring this up again. Thank you.
And just to let you know, I and the city manager have been talking about that particular goal and trying to get that moving into July here soon, too. So it's a good thought and a good goal, and we've been working towards that. And I think that we won't be able to do all of the departments, but if we pick three or four of the big departments and do them and move forward with that like that, that's what we can look at as far as right-sizing and all the other things, all the other terms that are being thrown around here in the budget cycle and everything. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Troll?
Thank you, Mayor Sanford. I would like to extend a gratitude to the staff, Mr. Bartholomew and the manager, for their direction that they provided on the budget. I really appreciated the work that our chair, Assembly Member Crane, did. And I want to extend a thank you to everybody here on the Assembly for putting up with me in my first year dealing with the budget and being open to the suggestions that I've made. And I know that everybody here put in a lot of hard work. And I ultimately think we've got a big job ahead. But collectively, the work we did was fun, was a good start. And I really want that to be recognized and say thank you once again for that. I think that's it for now.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Roll. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to echo, I believe, the sentiments that a lot of people have already said in a few different ways. This year's budget cycle was unpleasant. A lot of things we get to do, like Ms. Becker talked about, going to see the SLAM or going to the Sobolov Center. Those things are fun. The budget this year was no fun at all. It's never fun looking at that kind of shortfall, and it's never fun making decisions that cost people jobs at all. And when it gets to be fun to do that, I think you need to get the heck out of here and look for a dungeon somewhere to work. But everybody did do a lot of hard work. Like Ms. Troll said, everybody did a lot of hard work on the Assembly, and staff did as well, a lot of hard work bringing us the information we asked for. I believe we have yeoman's work ahead of us to get 16 where it needs to be, like Mr. Smith said, sustainable, and Mr. Keel used the same word. I think we need to look out there and maybe adjust how we've been doing business in certain areas. And one thing in particular that comes to mind for me is I think we need to quit bundling when it comes to propositions that come on the ballot. I don't think bundling serves us any purpose, and we've spoken to the manager before, and I believe we're getting better at this as an assembly, but that is asking for maintenance, long-term costs on facilities that we have, and I don't know that we've been very good at that in the past, but I think we need to really look at that in the future and give us a better overall picture of what something's going to cost us. And it's easy to go for the new, the bright and shiny. We all do it, including me, and I think we need to look long and hard at things before we just jump and hit the buy button. So, again, like Ms. Troll said, thanks, everybody, for working on this. It wasn't a lot of fun, but we all pulled together and pulled it off. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only thing I want to add, and I'll maybe elaborate a little bit more at the Finance Committee meeting, but Mr. Keelan during the budget discussion and Mr. Smith during comments and what Mr. Nankervis said, I think before we go hiring outside guns that some are convinced will only come in and reduce our budget and not tell us how to right size, I think we need to have some honest discussions about and policy setting from the Assembly. What do we mean by the term right-sizing? What do we mean by essential services? What do we mean by these terms that we keep throwing out? All I can tell you is my experience in government is right-sizing or management by objectives or whatever you call it, by employees is viewed as possible they'll finally listen to me, and is always viewed by outsiders and by the legislature is we're going to hire outside guns that are going to come in here and tell us how to cut our budget. And unless we are willing to sit down and define those terms, I won't be supporting hiring any outside guns to revise and review and look at what we're doing as a city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And we're going to have a sit-down chat in June about those issues at one of our meetings. One of our many meetings coming up.
After the 15th.
Okay. Anything else for Assembly comments and questions? Seeing none, we'll open up public participation on non-agenda items again. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to talk to us? Come on up, sir. Name and address, please.
Larry Johansson. I'm at 227 Irwin Street. And for something completely different, what I'm here to talk about is the possibility of webcasting the assembly meetings, which I think is long overdue. I know that it's broadcast on the radio, but the medium of webcasting and video and the different things that can be done, I think will raise positive contributions to the assembly. I think one of the things that webcasting will do will bring in a wider body of listeners and participants in the government. And listening to you struggle with the issues that are at hand, I think the solution comes to much easier if more people are involved. And one thing I took away from my degree in political science many years ago, and I never thought I would use it, but one of the lessons my professors taught me is the more people that are involved, the more chances there are of solutions, especially when you're dealing with budgetary considerations. The more input, the more ideas, the more people that participate in the process, the more likelihood you're going to come up with solutions and with a better understanding of what the issues are and be cheaper in the long run with greater participation. Mm-hmm. And what I propose, I started a webcasting business, and this isn't going to cost any money, which is, I know the first question that somebody was going to have, what's it going to cost us? What I propose is to do a trial broadcast or even a recording of the assembly meeting and demonstrate many different things that could be added to the meeting that I think would enhance the participation and also the discussion that would be generated from people who participate from outside of the assembly hall. And that's why I propose doing a demonstration, because I think seeing is believing, and without really rightfully looking at what a presentation might entail, you wouldn't be able to make an accurate judgment as to whether it would be beneficial to the assembly or not. And I know that the topic of webcasting has come up before, but I think it's time for stronger consideration. I think it's a medium that our youth are very much involved with these days, and it's a far-reaching medium that a lot of people can participate, and I think its time has come. So I offer that for consideration for the assembly, and willing to take any questions on what I'm proposing.
Is there any questions right now? If you would put maybe a more formal, I got the email from you about this, but that was very brief also. So
yes,
maybe if you would come in and talk with either the city manager or her assistant and see where we can go from here with it or not.
I'd be glad to. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The last thing here is to go into executive session for two items. One is a confidential employee matter, and one is to finish up the city manager's evaluation. So, if I can get a motion to move into executive session for those two items. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we recess into executive session to discuss a personnel matter and the manager's evaluation.
Thank you. Okay, as soon as everybody can move on, we'll get into our next part of the agenda. Thank you all very much for coming. 5-minute break.